It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello, welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name's James Truepenny. This is my show, and today we are all over Japan and New Japan Pro Wrestling for the New Japan Cup. We're looking at the rest of the first round matches. Me and Alex looked at the first few first round matches last week, but will you please welcome from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Mr. Marcus Green. How are you, sir?
Good, glad to be back. We previewed this whole thing, so it was only right that I come and help you tackle some of it.
Yeah, the meat and potatoes of the tournament, if you will. We're in the first and some of the second round matches. There's been some good stuff. This is like watching this tour is really interesting for me because I don't watch all the Road 2 tours. I just don't have time. But with this one, I really wanted to kind of get absorbed into the kind of like road show feel of New Japan because of the way they work. And it's one of the opportunities, apart from the G1, you get to do this. They work like they obviously can't play big halls all the time like Osaka Joe Hall or Ryogoku. So they go off to different places on different tours, and they do some different shows as well in these particular kinds of tours. And there's not the big staging with the big setup and the rampway, and it's smaller halls, and it's nice to see how they're presented in this show, presented with these shows. Marcus, what stood out for you for this tour so far, just as a general presentation kind of deal?
Yeah, like you said, the halls, the different crowds and what have you, obviously some of the matchups in the tournament. But overall, I think, just because of the extended fast worldwide that the G1 can be a lot of times, just having it not be a round robin tournament.
Yeah.
It's kind of been refreshing. And like I said, the matchups, definitely some of the names, because, you know, with this tournament, you're seeing people that have a lot of promise and certain guys that have always been on the more potential side of the conversation now kind of breaking out past that so this is going to be a couple guys that's going to be big players in the rest of the year. So that's probably my highlights mostly.
Yeah, definitely. There's been some really big surprises in this tournament. Well, I guess they're not big when you think about it, but like in comparison into the direction of flow, like say last year, very big difference in the way they're presenting people. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's not necessarily, obviously you see some names and you would, figure that they, you know, have a strong chance, but this tournament is definitely keeping you on your toes in terms of expectations.
Yeah, definitely. And some interesting matchups as well. We aren't going to go through the tag team matches as much as we'd love to, but there's loads of them and it would take us forever. but we'll give you a quick rundown. We're going to start with night three. We discussed night one and night two with Alex last week. We're on to night three. So Suzuki-Gun, Minoru Suzuki, and Taka Michinoku defeated Satoshi Kojima and Yoti Tsuji. Juice Robinson, Manabu Nakanishi, Yoshihashi, and Yuji Nagata defeated Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens, Hikuleo, Haji Shimori with Jado. A six-man tag match of LIJ, Bushi Sanada and Shingo Takagi took on Hiroki Goto, Ren Narita, and Tamaki Onma. There's a bit of a mixed-up team for you. a six-man tag match with Davey Boy Smith and Lance Archer Jr. That should be your KES with Tai Chi. They defeated Tomohiro Ishii, Toriyano, and Will Ospreay. And the first for the last of the first round matches, Colt Cabana and Mikey Nichols had to wrestle a handicap match against Kazuchika Okada, Tony Teo Henare, and Togi Makabe in 9 minutes and 47 seconds. Must have been hard for them to work together against such impressive opponents without any help. Anyway, moving on to the first of the last of the first round matches. First matchup on that night was Hiroshi Tanahashi, the ace, and he defeated Shota Umin. Oh, no, I'll get that right. I went wrong there. The first match, actually, was Raisuke Taguchi versus Hiroshi Tenzan in 12 minutes and 8 seconds. In a thoroughly entertaining match, Taguchi's come up to heavyweight for this tournament. He wouldn't normally be seen, but they needed a hand. And they've been wanting him up at heavyweight for a while, and he refused 2 years ago just because he wanted to become the 69th IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Because that's the way his brain works. 69. Ha, ha, ha. but this was kind of what you expected on the 10. It was Tenzan getting annoyed at Rusuki Taguchi being Rusuki Taguchi for 12 minutes. What are your thoughts on this one, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm definitely glad this didn't end tonight. Yeah, but it's what you expect of me. Obviously, you know, we know what Taguchi is all about in terms of just his antics, but he steps it up when it, you know, from bell to bell. And, you know, obviously, you know, Tenzai is going to be obviously that more straight man to Taguchi. And it was a solid opener. And again, I, you know, keeping us on our toes, didn't necessarily expect Taguchi to get that surprise victory. But, you know, we've seen he surprised us before. So. Yeah. That was cool to see him do that keto clutch and everything was, it was definitely refreshing for, like I said, a lot of comedy elements that surround him. A lot of times it's easy to take guys like him. And I think, obviously your boy Yano, for granted. And then they pull out these victories and you're looking crazy, but you kind of forget that they are legit. They just choose to go those, more comedic routes.
They went to the same dojo everybody else did.
Exactly.
And they wouldn't have kept their jobs if they were they're useful for a reason. And actually, Yano's a badass. He's like got a 2-0 record in MMA. So, you know, don't ever judge a book by its cover in professional wrestling. Next matchup, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus the young upstart Shota Umino, 14 minutes and 48 seconds with the obvious result. I believe Ali previewed this last week as, well, Shota's going to lose, but by God, it's going to be good. And I was right. It was fantastic. Shota Umino just is doing all the right things at the right times. Tried to win this match with a Texas cloverleaf. He's spitting on Superman's cape a bit here, but it works really, really well. Yes. What do you think of this one, Marcus?
Yeah, that was definitely interesting to me. And then when you look at it, it's like, wow, you really get to see just how well Tanahashi is built for that move when you see him in it.
Yes.
But yeah, just certain things in life you don't do when you don't tug on Superman's cape. And coming into this, obviously, you figuring it's going to go a certain way. But there's no, putting your head down, losing to somebody of the elk of Tanahashi.
No.
Like we said it with Umino before, this whole tournament is going to be great outing for him. Obviously, you know, it's the end of the line for him, but he's been. This entire year is just going to be putting a spotlight on him and opening a lot of people's eyes, you know, to him.
Yeah.
From the perspective of like, wow, that's that's one of the young lions. It's like, he doesn't look like it. That's the point, you know. So, but he did get a damn believable near fall there towards the end and a roll up that kind of had me slightly my eyebrow up for a minute, but you know. So, yeah. But it's matches like this that guys like him need. So
yeah, definitely. It was just so good. I love watching Shota Umino wrestle because he's so stoic and he's every young boy kind of what you're supposed to be. But he's just kind of, you just see the potential dripping off of him of how good he can be. I'm intrigued to see where they send him for his learning excursion. I'm not sure he would learn a lot in CMLL with that kind of ground and pound style. I think he's probably going to spend some time in Rev Pro or in Ring of Honor, but we'll see. We don't know where he's going to go. He'll probably go to all three because they eventually end up going to all three of them one way or another. So he needs some seasoning, but he's not far away. In fact, well, Dave Finlay stayed home. They didn't send him on the excursion, so they might not send him away. All right, the next match was from the New Japan Cup was Zack Sabre Jr. with Takemichi Noku. He defeated Evil in 15 minutes and 33 seconds. 7.4 from the cage match users. This is kind of a signature matchup for New Japan lately. Every time Evil wrestles Zack Sabre Jr., you're going to see something special. And this was the king of the counter matches. This was counter after counter after counter and counters to counters. People doing moves with three moves ahead and thinking three or four moves ahead. It was a beautiful thing to watch. But in the end, Zack Sabre Jr. did make Evil tap out. What are your thoughts on this one, Marcus?
Yeah, same as you. I mean, you know, we've seen this matchup before, but kind of it's one of those things, again, another matchup that never really gets old. For the most part, Zack has become that guy that's been the, the craw in a lot of people's, this whole thing. Just seeing his record against Ishii is incredible. And here, I mean, these guys, they know each other well. You know, they know each other's styles. And like you said, that counter for counter type of thing, which is not really easy to do, even if you face Zack Sabre Jr. A lot of times just because the guy just has, like I say, even when he's on defense, he's technically on offense. So You know, and I think that was never shown any better. Obviously, towards the end, got you in one move, and this completely turns it into something else. He's like an octopus and a tarantula all at the same time, with hints of a python. So it's nuts. But you know, I pray for anybody to tap, because I can just imagine the sheer amount of pain when he's got your head over here, your legs here, and then his legs like three spaces down on you or something like that. It's weird. Just a great match. Just a great match.
Orienteering with Napalm Death, which is the best name for any move ever, honestly. But there you go. Right. The main event of Night 3 featured Kota Ibushi and Tetsuya Naito. Now, this was going to be the biggest matchup of the first round, as far as I could tell. We haven't seen Ibushi since he lost the openweight title to Will Ospreay at Wrestle Kingdom. Naito is kind of on a high because he's won the Intercontinental Championship. You could argue that both of them were in line for a championship win, or at least a tournament win. So it was interesting to see where this was going to go. And in the end, Kota Ibushi defeats Tetsuya Naito in 20 minutes and 38 seconds to go through the second round. And I kind of think that was a bit of a shock, because the Intercontinental Champion didn't get out the first round, but they're clearly building Kota Ibushi for something, because the same kind of thing happened to Zack Sabre Jr. last year. What are your thoughts on this, Marcus?
Yeah, not necessarily. This tournament is not necessarily boding too well for all champions. Specifically two of them. You're talking about getting knocked out in that first round. So, yeah, I mean, definitely this was one of the matches I was looking forward to, because, I mean, how can you not be guaranteed a good match, you know, with Ibushi and Naito alone, much less together? So, this was definitely some great stuff, you know, working each other's obviously soft spots with the neck and stuff of that nature. But yeah, I kind of had Ibushi coming out on top here, because obviously, you know, the goal of the tournament is to, you know, to eventually get to Jay White. And, you know, for me, that narrative has kind of been playing for Ibushi ever since, like I said, the exodus of Omega. So for me, just kind of, you know, seeing his journey, you know, the avenues in which he's going to take to force himself to get to that spot finally. So against Naito, it was on the right, and obviously just needed a main event, and it deserved a main event. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting seeing Naito get knocked out so soon, but yeah, we've ironically seen stranger things happen. It's as far as a stretch as that seems to say.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting to see what's going on with this particular this particular tournament, as far as like how they're going to build stars and move forward. I guess Naito doesn't need the win. He's got a championship, but the story before the tournament was he was looking to win both championships, and the first steps of that was win the New Japan Cup. Obviously you're building it, and only one person can win it, but it's intriguing that he's gone out in the first round, whereas Kota, I suppose, did need some heat back, having gone out of Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
So we shall see. We move on then to Night 4 of the New Japan Cup, which had some tag team matches. Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens, Hikuleo, and Taiji Ishimori defeated Juice Robinson, Yoshihashi, and Yui Uemura in 9 minutes. Another handicap match. Loads of handicap matches on this tour. Can't understand it at all. Los Incunables, Deja Pan, Bushi, Evil, Shingo Takagi, and Tetsuya Naito, the full role of the currently active LIJ, defeated Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Manubi Nakanishi, Ren Narita, and Yuji Nagata. That was fairly predictable, to be fair. The best faction in pro wrestling as far as tag teams is concerned, and for blokes. Yes. Kota Ibushi and Tomoki Honma, they defeated Taka Michinoku and Zack Sabre Jr. in 9 minutes and 39 seconds. Chaos, Tomohiro Ishii and Will Ospreay defeated Suzuki Gun, Lance Archer, and Tai Chi in 9 minutes and 48 seconds. Mikey Nichols, Raisuke Taguchi, and Toa Henry defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kazuchika Okada, and Shota Umino in 10 minutes and 50 seconds. That was kind of a bit of an odd one, because they were mixing up regular Army and Chaos because of the matches that were happening later in the card. In the last night of the first round matches, Toru Yano defeated Davey Boy Smith Jr. in 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Davey Boy Smith Jr. was not happy about that. In real life, too. I'll explain. I suppose you should do now. Last night was the Dynamite Kid Memorial card, which Davey Boy Smith Jr. was a guest, and he was very happy, as he said on Twitter, "I finally had a competitive matchup in a Japanese professional wrestling company as a singles wrestler for the first time in forever." I think he was a bit narked at his booking here. Anyway, he was defeated by Toru Yano in 5 minutes and 30 seconds. What did you think of this one, Marcus?
It's another Yanu classic. Yeah, look, you got to do one thing when you're in the ring with Yano. Not let it go long and get him to get out of there. Beat him and get out of there, because it's, you always run the risk, and when you kind of had the ability to run hot, like, say, a David Boy Smith and a Lance Archer, that's only a hindrance to you getting the victory against somebody like Yano. So he's come up with a million different tricks to either get you with that low blow or get you with the follow-up, which is what he got David Boy Smith here with. And of course, it would help if these refs would get hip to the shenanigans, but that's a part of the stick. So, again, Yano gets away, man. It's the best highway robbery you ever see.
Now, arguably, you could say the similar thing happened in the second match. Colt Cabana defeats Togi Makabe in 7 minutes and 26 seconds of a very, very fun matchup. I was deathly impressed because Kevin Kelly mentioned Cat Weasel, an old British wrestler of my youth, and it inspired me to go post a story I wrote back in the WrestleTalk TV days. I reposted it on our blog. You can find it on our blog. It's Blogger. If you stick in Blogger Troopany Show, you'll find our blog with all sorts of stories that I've done in the past that we don't have a home anymore. So all sorts of things on there, and I kind of re-edited it for the times. And Colt Cabana really enjoyed that piece. He said, oh, that's really cool. It was nice to see somebody writing about old British wrestling. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And Kevin Kelly retweeted me. So thank you, guys. I appreciate that greatly. Where was we? Yes. So Colt Cabana and Togi Makabe, 7 minutes and 26 seconds. It was a lot of fun, this matchup. Kind of had a bit of a squib ending with the Superman finish from Colt Cabana. I don't really like that finish because it seems a bit anticlimactic unless it's done in a fast kind of way. And maybe Maccabi wasn't the guy to put with Colt Cabana to get his style over. What do you say, Marcus?
Yeah, this wasn't exactly a thrilling affair for me. And Colt Cabana's kind of laissez-faire style kind of doesn't necessarily inspire me with the viewing either. But this is also my first time seeing that particular finish of his, the Superman pin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of immediately wanted to be, mad at it, but I couldn't. I guess the visual of it makes, I mean, when you do it smooth like he did, I guess you can appreciate it from that perspective. And the fact that he's not a small man by any stretch, so that helps it as well. But, yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily clash well, like you said, with Michael Bay. So we'll see how things progress. But, you know, Colt is another one of those guys who can turn, you know, some shenanigans 100% in his favor. I think somebody kind of credited his style to kind of have like that World of Sports style.
Yeah,
mm-hmm, which I'm not necessarily accustomed to seeing on a consistent basis. So maybe I'll have to kind of, you know, accrue myself to that style in order to, I guess, appreciate Cabana more.
Yeah, I will send you some videos and the article that you can find on Blogger, Troopany Show this week. but yeah, it's a very difficult and different and individual style, and Colt's the master of it. Makabe is not the guy you want with that style, you know. If the point with Yano in the first round, I think it might have worked better, but obviously they're trying to get somewhere with that story, so they kind of wanted to hold it off, and I understand why they did that, and that was very smart. So, yes, did what it needed to be done, and Togi can't have a big kind of say in this tournament because it will screw a few other things up. So let's move on to something that was a bit more meaty, and it doesn't get much more meaty than Minoru Suzuki and Satoshi Kojima, does it, Marcus?
No, not at all. Two grizzle vets. You're not holding anything back.
A butcher's shop of meaty, if you would like to get your teeth into something. This was like eating a good steak of wrestling that's been matured for a very long time. These two guys have been banging heads for around about 15 years now, ever since Suzuki stopped doing MMA in Pancras and came over to All Japan Wrestling, where Satoshi Kojima was then the resident ace. They banged heads there. Kojima left All Japan to go to New Japan, or go back home to New Japan after being in All Japan since the late 90s. Went back, started his own group, Kojima Gun. And then a couple of years later, Minoru Suzuki turned up and took over Kojima Gun and kicked him out. And now it's Suzuki Gun, as we know it today. And that's where that story came from. And they've battled over the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. They've battled over the Triple Crown. And, yeah, they had a bit of a corker. Clearly, two guys who know each other really, really well, because Kojima doesn't necessarily get these big graded matches. I will point out, I don't like the Meltzer, well, I don't like Meltzer generally, but I don't like the Meltzer star system very much. And he's got they got a four star match from Meltzer, which is, you know, like really up there. One of the best matches of the year so far. And for two guys of a combined age of 95, that's pretty impressive. What do you think of this one, Marcus?
Yeah, I dug it. I dug it. This along with, and I think that match came on night two, which I think is one of the best, if not the best of the tournament so far, with who that was, Ishii and Nagata, right?
Yeah, it was, yeah. That was another case of the two old guys really rocking and rolling.
Yeah, just killing it. But yeah, this was great, and I like Kojima. I'm definitely a fan of his theme, fan of him in general. But I mean, you're right. I think the reason why, you know, somebody of his veteran status can kind of fall in the back of your mind, because he hasn't really been presenting a lot of these scenarios. Obviously, Minoru Suzuki finds himself in whatever position he really kind of wants to be in.
Yeah.
But seeing Kojima, you know, matched up with him was great, and you can kind of tell. Obviously, Suzuki has a certain perception of people in general. Kind of tell that, you know, there was definitely a lot of history and a lot of respect, even from somebody like Suzuki, for Kojima, just because of the way he went about, you know, the back and forth. And obviously, there wasn't a lot of, you know, commentary during the match in terms of Suzuki, you know, kind of taunting him on and stuff like that. Just kind of want to trade, like you said, that meat back and forth. So it was, you know, really cool. It's always cool seeing somebody really able to take it to Suzuki. So
yeah, definitely. I it kind of made me want to go back and watch their old Japan matches and see what the history was. I think there'd be a cool playlist to have. There should be some playlists like guys have had really long on-off feuds, like for like 20 years, just so you can see the progression.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool. There should be some playlists like that. Maybe we should do a playlist. I there are some playlists on the Troopany Show YouTube channel. You can go find some things. Obviously, things go missing. I try and keep us updated as much as I can. But they tend to match up with stuff we've ducked out in the beginner's guide. And they tend to, like, they'll be a bit more educational, informative. So if you want to go find them, I will see if I can find and do a Kojima versus Suzuki playlist, because I think that would be interesting. Right then. Next up, the main event of this particular night was Sanada versus Hirooki Goto. This was the last match of the first round. And Sanada takes out the win in 20 minutes and 47 seconds in a thoroughly enjoyable matchup. Now, I know you were torn, Marcus.
Yes, my two favorite uncles.
Yes, like Natalie Imbruglia, you were torn. That's a joke you probably won't get, because it was a very European hit of the 1990s. but did you enjoy this matchup, and were you thinking it's the right person to go forward?
Thoroughly enjoyed it. I do think it's the right person. Sonata's always been that guy we've been talking about. It's kind of, I mean, obviously he's had opportunities and stuff like that, but so was Goto. But in terms of Sonata, we've been talking about for years now, you know, as good as he is with Evil, you never get tired of seeing those guys tag. He's kind of been one of those guys we've kind of been waiting to really bust off in that, you know, that singles heavyweight scene for a while now. And maybe it took this unique aesthetic of his to kind of be that final trigger. But, you know, nonetheless, even with me being torn, it was a great match as expected. Took each other to the limit. And, yeah, it's nice to see him always take that win with that that great Muta moonsault. So.
Yeah, it's he is so good, just technically so good. And you never had the character to match up how good he was in the ring, and now he's got that sorted. It's just watching poetry in motion all the time, isn't it? It's just that good.
Yeah, beautiful.
Don't know where Goto goes from here. You know, they spent 2 weeks pushing him, and he looked really happy. And when he gets pushed, he always looks really happy. And then it all went out in the first round. But the match was awesome. There's no complaints from that. They're both putting incredible effort. So. We shall see, I guess. Right then, the night five we were on. This was from the Zip Arena in Okayama. Bullet Club, Bad Luck Farley, Hikuleo, and Taiji Ishimori defeated Juice Robinson, Tamaki Honma, and Yue Uemura in 9 minutes and 40 seconds. Tenkoji, Hiroshi Tenzan, and Satoshi Kojima, along with Togi Makabe, defeated Manubi Nakanishi, Toa Henry, and Yuji Nagata. Los Ignorables, De Japan, Bushi, Shingo Takagi, and Tetsuya Naito defeated Ren Narita and Shota Umino. Now, I'm saying that's really unfair that they had to go into a handicap match. Two young rookies like that, and one of them's a junior heavyweight. That's not on, in my opinion. And they lost in 13 minutes and 1 second. Los Ignorables, David Bowen, Evil and Sonata defeated Suzuki Gun, David Boy Smith, and Minoru Suzuki in 8 minutes and 51 seconds. That sounds like a hilarious matchup. I didn't get a chance to watch it because we've been concentrating on the singles matches, but that sounds amazing, and I want to see that. I'm going to go back and look at it. Chaos, Hiroki Goto, and Will Ospreay, along with Kota Ibushi, defeated Suzuki Gun, Lance Archer, Taka Michinoku, and Zack Sabre Jr. Colt Cabana, Mad Mikey Nichols, Ryusuke Taguchi, and they defeated Chaos, Kazuki Okada, Toru Yano, and Hiroshi Tanahashi. I will point out Mikey Nichols is in Chaos. That's how mad this was, this particular tour. Anything stand out to you there, sir?
Yeah, the Mikey Nichols. I keep having to remind myself who this guy is. It's not. I definitely don't want to take a shot at him, but I keep having to remind myself, like, who's this guy? And then I was like, oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, new boy. So, but within 24 hours, everyone would know who he was.
Exactly. And then you tell me now he's in Chaos. It's like, okay, all right. They got to keep up with this stuff, because apparently, you know, Bullet Club just sneaking people in their stuff, too.
Yeah, they've got a new member. Apparently, they didn't. Like 6 months ago, weren't they saying we don't need anybody else? With Robbie Eagles, is it? That's all we need. We've got somebody for the tag division. We've got somebody for the heavyweight titles. We're good. And it's like, now they've got more people.
You know, things are getting interesting in Japan when the only people you can really depend on in terms of factions is L.I.J. and Suzuki. In terms of consistency.
Yeah.
I can put my faith in L.I.J. Who I see is who I get all the time. But
I think.
But definitely. Those, specifically those. You know, like you said, with Umino and that match with Kota and them against Suzuki. I definitely want to go back and watch those two. They definitely sound like fun.
Yeah. Right then, the first of the second round matches we went to Yoshihashi. And I'll admit, I'm a Chaos guy, so I should be happy with this. But seeing Chase Owens lose was just so disappointing in 14 minutes and 10 seconds. And I'm like, oh, I want you to get at least to the semi-final. And it's like, well, Yoshihashi won, so it's okay. But it was just like, oh, Chase, I want you to do, you're better than that, Chase, now. You've made me believe, and then they dashed everything. In 40 minutes and 10 seconds, and Chase Owens continues to do a solid job as the in-ring enforcer for Bullet Club. I just love watching the guy wrestle. I love watching him wrestle. Yoshihashi, I'm very happy with as well at the moment. We talked about this last week, Marcus, and I don't know how you feel about it, but me and Alex was pointing out that, like, Yoshihashi has a tendency to be hot and cold. So one week he'll look like Ric Flair, and the other week he'll look like Rick Bogner. So.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I'm right there with you. I normally don't criticize New Japan's booking at all, because there's really few faults, if any. But I would have put Chase over here.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it just told. I mean, obviously we talked about it. You know, you came in with Finley, and it's kind of, again, been, you know, kind of guy in the background a lot of times, but we've always commended his work and saw his effort and, you know, what he's capable of. He just needed the opportunity to show it. I think this was a prime time to do it. I mean, I don't think a lot of people expected him to get past Juice, but he did. Juice being the other champion that got knocked out early. And I think this would have been another step in towards seeing him get to the semifinals. I don't think we was expecting to see him win. Maybe, you know, if he came up against somebody like Kota Ibushi, I think we know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
But with Yoshihashi, like you say, because he runs so hot and cold, oftentimes in that contrast that you said, in the mid-match, depending on, you know, how things are going, I just feel like it made more sense narratively to kind of, you know, continue that Chase Owens ride. But again, like you said, because we're Chaos fans, and, you know, as hard as it is sometimes, you want to root for Yoshihashi, because he's always one of the longest underdogs ever.
Yeah.
That's that really should have graduated past underdog, but like you said, you just never know what you're going to get. And there was just one moment during this match When Owens, I think, went to the with the Kevin Kelly, like Yoshi-Ashi.
Yes, that was at the end of the match. Yoshi, in the middle of the match, wasn't it? After he ran him into the ring post, was hey, Yoshi-Ashi. And it's like, oh, you're horrible, but so good at it.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that stuff like that helped the crowd, and it was cool to see the crowd rally behind Yoshi-Ashi and to see him come back.
Yeah, definitely.
And hit that calm. It's just it's just one of those things. I just kind of would have preferred to go with the Chase story, but just because, you know, of how his legit reaction, like after he beat Juice, he was legitimately surprised and shocked, and you kind of appreciated that because Juice is, you know, also one of those guys who's come from the place that Owens is in, and you know, has really fought for that spot, which is why he's once again the U.S. champ. But I don't know, maybe we'll get this in another form with Owens this year.
Well, the next night in Nara, I'll talk about it now because it kind of links better here. The next night in Lara, after a match involving, who was it? I'm just trying to find who it was. Yeah, it was an 8-man tag featuring Colt Cabana, Juice Robinson, Raisuke Taguchi, and Tomohiro Ishii. They defeated Toriyano, Yoshihashi, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Toa Henare. And one Chase Owens came down to ringside and attacked Juice Robinson with a chair and has made his challenge for the U.S. Heavyweight Championship. So we'll see how that develops. But, you know, at least they're telling the story and they've got a challenger for Juice now. There's a story going into that. And if that happens at MSG, Chase Owens versus Juice Robinson for the U.S. title at Madison Square Garden, how cool would that be?
Yeah, I mean, that is 100%. I just love how they never, you know, let those little narrative beats fall to the wayside. If you beat the champion in a non-title, you get a title shot.
Yeah,
period. That's it. And you got to stick to that, so...
Yeah, then it just so well done and well laid out because Juice had nothing to do. And now he has an opponent who looks like a viable contender within the space of three matches. You know, they've started that run with him and the Tokyo Pimp were running through the big road to New Beginning matches. They won a load of matches. Surprisingly, took a lot of sneak victories. That started the momentum for Chase. He built things up over a period of time. Went out the last tour and got a couple of big pinfall victories and big tag matches. And he looked like a guy who could win. And he did win. And he beats Juice Robinson in the first round and claims his prize, a shot at the U.S. Heavyweight Championship, as he should do. Damn it. Right then. The next matchup was Tomohiro Ishii. He defeated Tai Chi in 22 minutes and 55 seconds. We were in, like I said, Okayama. And it was 2,800, and they really enjoyed this match. They got into it, and Tai Chi amazingly tried really hard because Ishii dared him to wrestle properly, and he did. What did you think of this, Marcus?
Well, initially, just because people know where I stand on Tai Chi, I'm like, okay, this match went 21 minutes too long. But as I usually just sum up all Tai Chi's matches within the time frame in which it went. But, yeah, I mean, Tai Chi's another one of those guys, much as I hate to give him any credit, if he wants to turn it on, you know, it's almost like order in that sense. Like, if he wants to go, you know, he can go. You know, I guess it's depending on the opponent in the day. But, I mean, you're not really giving much else of a window when you're going against Ishii, you know. So, no. I definitely appreciated the match from that perspective. Don't know if I would have it go as long as it did, like I said, but they definitely had the right guy win. So
yeah, it was good to watch. So watching Tai Chi try really hard, I think they're trying to make him become a real wrestler again. And they have been stressing him, like, he's a Kawada guy. He has been doing this for a long time. He is a veteran. He knows what he's doing, and he's all about heat. But it just jars with me in the entire New Japan aesthetic and the way he goes about it. And that's the reason why I don't like it that much. And I think you're pretty much in the same boat. So it just kind of ruins things for us.
Yeah.
I'd rather have someone like Chase Owens who just works really hard and is reasonably charismatic, if you see what I mean. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And to see somebody like a Chase hang with somebody like Ishii, because even though we've seen him take L's, Ishii is very much that guy that's a hurdle for a lot of guys like that when it comes to these tournaments.
So, yeah. Tai Chi's okay, and I can understand why people have started to like him because he is good at what he does. I just don't like what he does.
Exactly. That's the best way to sum it up.
it's a bit... I'm trying to think... the opposite thing is Sami Callihan. I just don't like Sami Callihan. He's not particularly good at anything. I don't like him. Whereas Tai Chi, I can see the point, just not my bag.
Exactly.
It's one of those phrases, a very British phrase, not my graps, you know, which is a cry of British wrestling fans when they come across something. What about you? Would you want to go to this show? No, it's not my graps, mate. And I think that's something we need to use more and more. And it's kind of like one of those things, the negativity in pro wrestling would stop if everybody just used that rule of, it's not my graps. I'm not a big fan of the word graps, but I certainly think it's like, you know, you don't like something, don't watch it. You don't have to. They're not forcing you. There are other things to watch that you may enjoy. I'm with Tai Chi, not my graps. Anyway, anything else you'd like to say about that matchup, Marcus?
Oh, no, that was it.
All right, then. We move on to the last night we're going to look at, which was night six. Manabe Nakanishi and Yuji Nagata defeated Yota Tsuji at 9 minutes and 14 seconds in another one of these handicap matches where a youngster has to go against the two veterans. It's not fair, Marcus.
Yeah, it's again, one of those, you know, proven ground scenarios, but you kind of see, I mean, yes, it's only a few ways that's going to go, and it's on all fuel for the vets.
Yes.
But, you know, if you're gonna test these young guys, you gotta show them what line has been drawn, and those guys drew the line. So
yes, like Battle Royale.
take your lumps now, because one day you may be on the other side. So
yes, tagging with people who are better human beings. Anyway, 8-man tag match: Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens, Hikuleo, and Taiji Ishimori with Jado defeated Tenkoji. That's Hiroshi Tanahashi and Satoshi Kenzan. Satoshi Kojima and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Hiroshi Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima. I've only been watching them both for like 30 frigging years. You remember they pronounce their names. Ren Narita and Togi Makabe in 10 minutes and 30 seconds. Los Ignorables, Shingo Takagi and Tetsuya Naito defeated Hiroki Goto and Shota Umino in 8 minutes and 40 seconds. Suzuki Gun, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Minoru Suzuki and Tai Chi defeated L.I.J., Bushi, Evil and Sanada. Kota Ibushi and Tomiaka Honma defeated Takamichi Moku. I've only been watching him for 30 years as well. Takamichi Noku and Zack Sabre Jr.'s in 8 minutes and 7 seconds. And in the match we talked about before, Colt Cabana, Juice Robinson, Raisuki Taguchi, Tomohiro Ishii defeated Toriyano Yoshihashi, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Toa Henry in 11 minutes and 5 seconds, which is where the Juice attack happened. And yeah, so we're going to have Chase Owens versus Juice Robinson fairly soon for the US Heavyweight Championship. I like this a lot. But
yeah,
we move on to the double main event, which featured Will Ospreay, and he defeated Lance Archer, the current ever openweight champion, again, going up against a monster. He's had the hardest run in the New Japan Cup out of all of the top ranked challengers, though he was on good form here. He and Lance doesn't get wins very often anymore, and he wasn't going to win this by a long stretch, but he put in a sterling performance to help get young Ospreay over. What are your thoughts on this, Marcus?
Yeah, I think this is one of my favorite matches. You know, just because of that contrast, and definitely was a refresher coming off of not that the match was bad, but that spot at the end kind of took some of the scuff out of with him and fight with Ospreay and Fale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So to see here again, you know, to see the climb with Ospreay as well and what he's been doing, despite how you may feel about him outside of the ring, you know, you can never deny what he does inside it. So seeing that contrast with Lance, who, while he may not get a lot of wins, he's going to put you through your paces on the way to getting that W. And he is becoming one of the most devastating delivers of a choke slam I've seen quite some time.
Everything he does is ugly, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's well executed, not like it just doesn't look pretty. He makes everything look like it means it.
Exactly. So, you know, and again, you know, just not another knock on Fale, but sometimes, you know, just what you can do is custom to, you know, your natural athleticism and your body type, and I just feel like here you got to see more of a dynamic with Lance Archer in terms of stuff he did, obviously, you know, going top rope and doing stuff with Ospreay, just, you know, because Ospreay kept going for that ass cut and he got pounced. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
So, stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely great contrast, and again, that climb for, you know, Ospreay, you know, with that championship, because I mean that's been his whole thing, is proving exactly, you know, rising to the occasion with that championship against guys who that you would far put ahead of Ospreay, in terms of just, I guess, aesthetic in terms of holding that championship. So this was a great match.
And then we move on to Mad Mikey Nichols. He was defeated by Kazuchika Okada, his stablemate in Chaos, in 17 minutes and 25 seconds. He has not come to make up the numbers. He had an outstanding matchup for his first night in the company. He's still got to find his feet, but he did the right things in the right places at the right time. Nobody knew who he was when he walked into the arena in Nara, but when he left, they definitely knew who he was. And Kazuchika Okada, imperious as he ever was back in the championship days. But like they said on commentary, he's trying to do a few different things these days, trying to change things up, and this was another example of how cool he can be. What do you think of this one, Marcus? Because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, same here. Same here. I mean, this was two great great matches. And if you're going to make a name for yourself, step away from your past, if you will, hanging with the Rainmaker is definitely one way to do it. So great performance here from him. Looked like he had Okada scouted a lot of areas. Not that there's not a lot of tape to do so, but this was a great just another great showing for him. And looking forward to definitely seeing where he goes in that Chaos faction. So he's definitely on his way.
Right then, that kind of wraps up our coverage of New Japan Pro Wrestling this week for the New Japan Cup. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, Marcus? Any news you've heard or anything about the Cup you'd like to say?
Again, New Japan puts on a stellar product, and I think this has been another great step post those quote-unquote mass exoduses that's showing that New Japan has, you know, a lot left, you know, in their tank. You know, just losing guys is, you know, just comes with the territory, and they got plenty of people to fill those slots. It's just, you know, depending on how they present them and, you know, the routes they're taking, a lot of these guys aligning with certain factions is only going to elevate them, elevate those routes. I mean, we've seen this done wonders for the heavyweight champion who's just waiting for his next challenger. So, I think this just kind of sets up nicely. And again, it helps that this isn't a round robin, as, you know, we know the sum is only about one thing, and that's G1. This is a good gear up for that.
Yeah, this is if you want a taster of how Japanese wrestling tournaments work, the New Japan Cup is a really interesting one to look at, because everything's much more immediate. Like, it takes you 3 or 4 weeks to figure out what's going to happen in the G1, whereas the New Japan Cup, you kind of get to see what's going on straight away, but it's well worth watching. It's a lot of fun to watch. If you want to go find it, you can find it on newjapanworld.com, and all the matches are there. And yeah, it's just a blast. And they've got so much good support these days. The guys at Voices Wrestling do a good job of supporting the commentators and stuff. There's so many websites that me and you write for. Steelshare Magazine has reviewed every night if you want something that's a bit more in detail of what we've been talking about. I'm probably going to write some features on some stuff this week. There are other magazines as well that are doing a good job with the wrestling media on New Japan. And this is the kind of thing, it's like when I first started watching New Japan seriously in about 2012, this didn't really happen, but our friend Mo Chatra, who was on the show for the G1 coverage last summer, wrote a story about New Japan Pro Wrestling for the Daily Mirror, one of the biggest newspapers in the UK. You know, I can't see USA Today doing the same thing, though, Marcus.
No, they're too concerned. too concerned with, you know, headlines, and we have so much clutter over here that our publication would rather worry themselves about. So, but, you know, the Daily Mirror has always been, you know, one of those sites and publications that I've looked at just because of the vast, you know, variety of stuff that they cover, like a New Japan and other stores. So that's really great to hear.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Mo's been writing for the Mirror for about 3 or 4 years now as the wrestling correspondent, and they have a couple of wrestling correspondents there. But it's nice to see them breaking through into mainstream media, which is what New Japan have to do, because they've got this big British All New Japan tour coming up as well. They need to sell tickets for that. But they're hitting all the right markets at the right time. It all seems pretty seamless now, apart from the snafu with the visas that they had in the States a couple of months ago. Nothing's gone seriously wrong. Touch wood, everything will be fine. So yeah, it's going to be a good Japan, new year for New Japan, I feel. I think you think the same way, don't you, Marcus?
Agreed.
Right then, well, that covers our New Japan coverage for this week on the New Japan Cup. I think we'll be back next week and we'll round up what matches we have seen by the end of next week, because I think the final is next weekend, so we can cover that, but the show might be awfully short if we just do that. So we might do a twofer. We'll find something else to watch, do the New Japan Cup and do something else. I think we're going to have to do a twofer episode, Marcus. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see what we can find, see who's available. We don't know who'll be on the show next week, but we do know that we will be back next Monday with the Troopany Show. Until then, I would like to thank my guests for today, Mr. Marcus Green of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You can find him at ParrotDocsKid on Twitter. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can find the show Troopany Show on Twitter and The Troopany Show on Facebook, The Troopany Show on Patreon, where you can keep us free forever for everyone. Coming up on Wednesday or Thursday of this week will be Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind, where they will be looking at the things that happened in North American wrestling this week. Big interesting show on last week's show, big discussions about the philosophies of life in general and with wrestling, Darragh O'Connor's personal prejudices and his love of TNA and various other things, which were quite hilariously picked apart by Mike and Darragh. So well worth a listen. Anyway, take care. We'll speak to you soon. Bye.